Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines, it's Thursday, November the 21st. The International Criminal Court issues an arrest warrant for the leaders of Israel and Hamas. In a meeting with the Vatican's Dicastery for Culture and Education, Pope Francis says that the organisation is morally obliged to help the 250 million children who do not attend school worldwide. And we speak to a bishop in Pakistan about the persecution of Christians in his country. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. The world's top war crimes court has issued arrest warrants for the leaders of Israel and Hamas, including Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, accusing them of crimes against humanity. The warrants against Netanyahu and former Defence Minister Yoav Gallant focus on allegations that Israel has used food as a weapon in its campaign against Hamas in Gaza. The news comes just days after Pope Francis said in a new book written for the upcoming Jubilee year 2025 that an international investigation should be launched into allegations that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. Now turning to the latest news from the ground there, the Israeli military has deepened its incursion into the north of Gaza, with attacks launched on at least five crowded homes, killing scores of people. Deadly attacks also took place in Lebanon, raising the official death toll in the country to over 3,500 people killed and more than 15,000 people wounded since October 2023. Linda Bordoni has more.
The Lebanese Health Ministry confirmed 14 more deaths as Israeli officials demanded the freedom to strike Hezbollah as part of any ceasefire deal. This raises a potential complication to a top US envoy who is in the region attempting to broker an agreement. The development came as an airstrike hit the historic Syrian town of Palmyra, killing 36 people, according to Syrian state-run media, which blamed the attack on Israel. Tel Aviv has declined to comment. Meanwhile, Palestinian authorities said at least 66 people were killed early Thursday in northern Gaza, most of whom, they said, remain buried under the rubble of their homes and have not been recovered. The director of Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia, one of the three medical facilities barely operational in the besieged northern area, said medics were recovering injured people and treating them on site because they had no ambulance vehicles to move them to hospitals. He added that even if the injured make it to a hospital, many then die because of a lack of medical supplies and specialised surgeons after Israel detained or expelled most of the medical staff. Israeli operations in Gaza have focused for weeks on the northern edge of the territory, where the military has laid siege to three major towns and ordered residents to flee. Palestinians say Israel appears determined to depopulate the area permanently to create a buffer zone along the northern edge of Gaza, which Israel denies. Most of Gaza's population of 2.3 million people has been displaced, and the enclave is at risk of famine. Gaza health officials say more than 43,922 Palestinians have been killed in the Israeli offensive. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And I mentioned earlier the Pope's words recently about what's happening in Gaza. To quote directly from him, he wrote that, "According to some experts, what is happening in Gaza has the characteristics of a genocide. It should be carefully investigated to determine whether this fits into the technical definition formulated by jurists and international bodies." Now, in some more news from the Middle East, Major Archbishop Raphael Thattle, the head of the Syro-Malabar Catholic Church, has completed a pastoral visit to the Diocese of Northern Arabia. The journey saw him stop off in Qatar, Kuwait and Bahrain, where he celebrated masses and met with the local Syro-Malabar communities as well as church officials. The Syro-Malabar Church is based in the Indian state of Kerala but has a strong presence worldwide due to the Indian diaspora. The high numbers of migrant workers in Qatar, Kuwait and Bahrain, which together with Saudi Arabia make up the Catholic Church's Apostolic Vicariate of Northern Arabia, mean that the Syro-Malabar Church has a strong presence there. A press release from the Apostolic Vicariate said that the purpose of Archbishop Thattle's visit was to, quote, engage with local communities, spiritual leaders and congregants to strengthen the bonds of faith and solidarity. During the liturgies the Archbishop celebrated, the press release continues, he emphasised the importance of community unity and faith when navigating the challenges of contemporary life. And in all of his meetings with the local Syro Malabar communities, which again are almost entirely composed of migrant workers, the Archbishop stressed both the importance on the one hand of maintaining strong connections to one's faith and heritage, and also the need to contribute positively to one's current community. And now turning to Pakistan, Samsam Shukardin is Bishop of the Diocese of Hyderabad in the southeastern part of the country. He spoke recently to Vatican Radio about the plight of the persecuted Christians in the country.
The persecution of Christians is on a regular basis. It's an everyday challenge. So we are always ready for that. More persecution, more strong in faith, more vocation for the priesthood. We have very much trust in God. Sometimes we are not protected. They are more stronger than us, but Jesus is stronger than them. There are many examples for that Christians are facing many challenges, and especially the persecution. There is latest news is this, that one of the Shugufta Karan, one of the lady, which is 40 years of age, she was a nurse, and she was sentenced to death that she has done the WhatsApp message forwarded to someone. And she is innocent. She has not done anything like this.
What can you do for her now?
We are fighting for her. The High Court has given her death sentence, but we have appealed in the Supreme Court.
What can be a solution?
The solution is this, that regular advocacy, awareness, and asking here is AED. They have arranged program. In this way, we go to Germany also, we go to other places, and also to Brussels to educate that things. And through the governments, we are putting little pressure on government that this laws should not be used for taking revenge. These laws are made for blasphemy, but misuse of this law is not be acceptable.
That was Bishop Samsam Shukardin of the Diocese of Hyderabad in Pakistan, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Joshal Pizzolu. Now, in 2022, Pope Francis merged the Congregation for Catholic Education with the Pontifical Council for Culture, making it one dicastery. Today, 2 years later, he has held a meeting with the new dicastery and issued them with a number of challenges, one of them being that they are, quote, morally obliged to help the 250 million children worldwide who do not attend school. Kelsey Gussie has more.
One of the newest dicasteries in the Vatican met with Pope Francis on the occasion of their first plenary assembly. The Dicastery for Culture and Education was established in June 2022 after combining the offices of Culture and Education, which the Pope said was to exploit the potential for dialogue, interaction, and innovation in a way that could enhance the effectiveness of both. He began by reiterating the importance of the dicastery's mission and warned against creating educational models that simply make results. Our world does not need automatons, he explained. It needs new choreographers, new interpreters of our rich human resources, new social poets. Instead of making success or promotions the end goal, Pope Francis challenged the dicastery members to do something quite different. To paint an image of this idea, he referenced Emily Dickinson's poem number 323.
As if I asked a common arms, and in my wandering hand, a stranger pressed a kingdom, and I bewildered stand. As if I asked the Orient, had it for me a morn, and it should lift its purple dykes, and shatter me with dawn.
The poem can help the dicastery, the Pope said, see their mission in education and culture, calling upon others to broaden their horizons, to overflow with inner vitality, to make space for new possibilities, and in sharing the gifts they have received. Today, the world has the highest number of students in history, he pointed out. Even so, about 250 million children and teens are not able to attend school. Pope Francis strongly denounced this injustice, saying it is cultural genocide when children are robbed of their future by our failure to provide the conditions necessary for them to become all they can be. He concluded by challenging the dicastery members to study recent scientific developments and technological innovations to understand their benefits and dangers. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Pope Francis published a letter today calling for a renewed study of church history. Francesca Merlo has more.
Pope Francis has called for a profound renewal in the study of church history, urging seminarians, clergy and the faithful to embrace history, which continues to play a role in their daily lives. In the text, the Pope reflects on the value of history as a communal inheritance, stressing that the study of the church goes beyond memorizing dates and events. He criticizes approaches that reduce church history to mere chronological facts, while also calling for greater emphasis on primary sources, urging seminarians to engage deeply with early Christian writing. It is about keeping the flame of collective conscience alive, he says, explaining that by doing so, the faithful can navigate the present with a clearer sense of perspective rooted in the Church's lived experience across centuries. Pope Francis also warns against idealizing the Church to the point of detachment from her human and often flawed journey. True love for the Church, the Pope insists, is rooted in her authenticity, not in imagined perfection. He stresses the importance of loving the Church as she truly is, emphasizing the strength of learning from her failures. Finally, the Pope reflects on the centrality of martyrdom in church history, reminding the faithful that the Church has often found her greatest beauty in moments of persecution and suffering, when her witness to Christ shone brightest. He explained that the Church herself also recognizes that she has benefited and is still benefiting from the opposition of her enemies and persecutors. Bringing then his letter to a close and reflecting once more on the importance of learning history, the Pope emphasizes the importance of studying, reminding the faithful that study is not gossip. True study, he concludes, involves the courage to ask profound questions and resist the distractions of cultural consumerism. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And finally, Pope Francis met today with a delegation from one of Italy's leading publishing houses. Lisa Zengarini has more.
In his address, Pope Francis praised the editrice La Scuola for its pedagogical expertise and ongoing service to education. He said their accomplishments over the past 120 years have fulfilled the wishes expressed by Pope St. Paul VI in 1965 when receiving a delegation from the publishing group to whose foundation his father had contributed. The Pope commended their resilience in facing competition and adapting to the changing Italian cultural landscape marked by growing indifference to religious values. He noted that their passion for education and formation of educators reflect the awareness that forming young people in the values of the gospel provides an essential contribution to a society of responsible individuals capable of building bonds of fraternity with everyone. Indeed, being Catholic, the Pope remarked, involves embracing the good found everywhere, as taught by the Second Vatican Council. This, he said, leads to an open and dialogical attitude towards everyone. The core task of education, he added, is not merely about knowledge, but about fostering human and spiritual growth. Educating, said the Pope, means helping to think well, to feel well, and to act well. This vision, he remarked, is particularly relevant today as we feel a need for an educational pact capable of uniting families, schools and society as a whole to address the epochal changes of our time. Far from being a reason for lament or fear, the Pope said these changes represent a new opportunity to cultivate a thirst of knowledge and wisdom in the new generations. Concluding, Pope Francis encouraged the Editrice La Scuola to continue its mission of fostering fraternity and hope through education. I am Lisa Zengarini.
That's all we have time for on this edition of Vatican and World News. Please do visit our website, www.vaticannews.va, for more on all of these stories. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Just search Vatican News. Many thanks go to Alberto Giovanetti in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.